week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin in Uganda, where the love for motorsport keeps increasing by both fans and drivers alike, despite the fact that winners are not given prize money. Organizers believe motorsport can help the government to boost local tourism, and rally drivers are appealing for sponsorship. In this feature for the Sunny Side of Sports, reporter Magumi Davis Rakawinge tells us more from the capital, Kampala.
Hundreds of fans stand by the roadside to cheer up their favorite rally drivers at Chapakuza village in Masaka district of central Uganda during the just concluded Southern Motorsport Club Challenge Rally. Frank Antlak is one of them. Antlak says he started watching rallies when he was just about 6 years. He usually would accompany his father, who was also a motor rally fanatic.
Basically, I like thrilling games. I like things that take me up to the maximum. Motorsport is man versus machine, so you get what I'm saying. Motorsport is an ordinary sport, first of all, so you come here by own risk, and I like risky things.
At times, until access, he tries out at navigation. Hotelelia Caroline Namanda also says she's a loyal motorsport fan. But besides enjoying the sport, she also gets time to network with different people at rallies.
Oh, rallying is a very good game. It collects a lot of crowd. Very many people come and enjoy it. And a class of people, which are my target clients, the corporates. So I'm also involved into this because I need the corporates for my hotel.
One of her favorite drivers is three-time national rally champion, Jas Mangat. Mangat says motor racing is a family sport.
What I love most about the sport, it's exciting. It builds my adrenaline and it requires a lot of concentration. I think it was something we always looked at as kids. My father used to drive, so I tried to follow his footsteps.
Mangat races Mitsubishi Evo Series, which costs well over $30,000 before taxes, and also has to import spare parts at an expensive price since Uganda does not manufacture them. At the end of the day, only accolades are not cash, is all the winner goes home with. But he says it's emotionally rewarding to see hundreds of fans watch you perform your favorite sport.
It's amazing that this sport can get so much attention from the public. We just wish that with the sport we can benefit from it and you know, instill good habits and good values to the spectators.
Each year, drivers must compete in 7 rallies, and one with more points is crowned the national champion. Southern Motorsport Club Challenge Rally winner Poseon Rakataka, aka Mafumafu, is one of the darling of the sport. He says he would not have won the sport if it wasn't the generosity of his fans.
I have groups on WhatsApp. When once I'm going to drive, I call up everybody at least to give me 20,000. So like this year, they contributed for me 15 million. That's why I prepared my car.
Katende Muchibi is the chairman of the Sport Commission in Uganda.
The sport is very popular and adding a lot in terms of the economy, because everywhere we go, the rally economy is close to 2 billion Uganda shillings. And what does that imply? That we can be a vehicle that government can use to promote domestic tourism. And that is one of the things we are looking at.
Motorsport in Uganda started around 1950s, but became more popular in 1990s. Rally drivers here say, once they get sponsorship, they'll be able to participate in regional and international competitions.
Six overall car number 74, Toyota Corolla, Frank Tatia and Hamza Rwanga.
For the Sunny Side of Sport, I am Magumi Davis Rakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Magumi. I'm Sunny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. We're now 24 days away to the kickoff of the World Cup football tournament in Russia. And how about another fun World Cup fact for our VOA listeners? 24 is also the number of consecutive passes made by Argentina before midfielder Esteban Cambiaso scored against Serbia and Montenegro during a first-round match at the 2006 World Cup in Gelsenkirchen, Germany. 24 passes leading up to that goal by Cambiaso. And Cambiaso's goal came in the 31st minute, and it was the third of Argentina's goals in a 6-0 rout of Serbia and Montenegro. Two-time World Cup champion Argentina advanced to the quarterfinals 12 years ago before losing to host Germany 4-2 on penalty kicks. The Germans would then go on to lose to eventual World Cup champion Italy 2-0 in extra time in the semifinals. Argentina is in Group D, along with Iceland, Croatia, and Nigeria at next month's World Cup in Russia. Anur Siriwu is the president of the Sports Writers Association of Nigeria. Reporter Iron Mike Mbonye in Port Harcourt asked him to rate Nigeria's World Cup preparations.
Based on what the assurances we've been getting from the leadership of the Nigerian Football Federation, we think that they are better, but Nigerian being who we are, sometimes the good morning is good evening. So we are saying that let us do less of talking and do more of walking, because Nigerians have developed so much passion for sports, especially the game of football. Each time we are playing any of the matches, you discover that the streets most times are dry. Now we are talking about going to Russia. If I tell you the number of Nigerians that have purchased tickets to watch our matches, if I tell you the number of Nigerians that have secured Russian visa, that tells you of the passion that we attach to this team. So we don't want to hear we are ready while we are not ready. Let us do less of talking and do more of walking.
The association also urged the Nigerian Football Federation and the federal government to ensure that there is no challenges regarding the issue of bonus.
We've heard that they say this has been taken care of, but this is a country that we must tell ourselves the truth. Sincerely speaking, or realistically speaking, you are going to the World Cup. It's not a place you do permutations. You must have laid a solid foundation if you expect better thing. Our administrators in this country, they tell you A, and when you discover B, is what has happened. They tell you the allowances of everybody has been paid, but follow it up, you discover the allowances have not been paid. So we are saying that they should be sincere about the payment of these bonuses. They should be sincere about the release of funds. They should be sincere about the application of FIFA grants. So that's our interest. If you have done that, and at the end of the day discover that you did that, then we can now say, okay, maybe the technical crew did not do well, maybe the players did not also do well, but that government, you played your part. So we are insisting that there should be practical demonstration of what we preach, as long as this World Cup is concerned, because Nigerians would not take anything less than a better performance to what we have had in the past.
That's Anur Siriwu, the president of the Sports Writers Association of Nigeria, and he was talking with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye in Port Harcourt. We heard Anur Siriwu mention Nigeria's past World Cup performances. Russia 2018 will mark Nigeria's sixth World Cup appearance. And in terms of World Cup performance and best result, three times the Super Eagles have reached the round of 16 at USA 1994, France 1998, and Brazil 2014. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. With more on the World Cup preparations by the Super Eagles of Nigeria, let's go to Abuja and reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
And ahead of the 2018 FIFA World Cup in Russia, Super Eagles assistant coach Salisu Adamu says Nigeria is not unaware of the opposition the Super Eagles will face at a World Cup with the likes of Argentina in the same group. But the coach is confident that the West African football powerhouse could pull up some surprises.
Yeah, we are in a very difficult group. because we were playing Iceland. They came first in the European group. Argentina always top at that level. And Croatia, a very good footballing nation. But I think all the four teams have the chance to qualify to score up.
Staying with the Super Eagles, South Africa Chippa United number one goalkeeper Daniel Akpei is heading to Russia to represent Nigeria. The Nigerian is hoping to fight for the number one shirt alongside three other goalkeepers at the Super Eagles when the camp opens later this week. Before he left South Africa, he told reporters that it was an honor to represent the Nigerian national team.
For a very long time, Africa and nation teams have not actually been going that far, but I think with the momentum which we started the period of the qualifier to the World Cup, I'm sure if we keep that momentum, we're actually going to go that far, probably beyond the quarterfinal to semifinal.
Staying with football news, Egyptian football powerhouse Al Ahly have confirmed that they are in talks with European and South American coaches. The Al Ahly coaching job became vacant after Hassan Al-Badari resigned following a 2-0 defeat to Ugandan side KCCA FC in the 2018 CAF Champions League Group A game. On Tuesday, the Cairo Giants have revealed that six tacticians from Argentina, Brazil, Czech Republic, Holland, Serbia, and Portugal are keen to replace the Egyptian coach. And the long-awaited Ethiopian Football Federation elections will now take place on the 3rd of June 2018 in Semira, Afar. Newly constituted EFF Electoral Committee set the date for both presidential and executive committee polls. The elections have been postponed five times in the past, with the bone of contention being perceived biased composition of the key bodies charged with conducting the process. South African Football Association President and Confederation of African Football Executive Danny Jordan is facing a second sexual assault complaint. Johannesburg-based Sunday Times said an unnamed 40-year-old woman filed a complaint with police against a 66-year-old football official. She alleges that Danny Jordan, one of the senior organizers of the 2010 World Cup in South Africa, sexually assaulted her on three occasions. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The U.S. men's national soccer team opened a training camp Monday at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. The Americans did not qualify for next month's World Cup in Russia. It was a big embarrassment for U.S. soccer, and it resulted in the resignation of head coach Bruce Arena and an overhaul of the team. Interim coach Dave Sirachin named a 22-man roster for the Philadelphia training camp, as well as a friendly international match May 28th against visiting Bolivia. It's a young squad, with an average age of just under 23. The group includes Christian Pulisic and Weston McKennie, who play regularly in the German Bundesliga. And it also includes Tim Weah, the son of African football great George Weah, who is now president of Liberia. Tim Weah made his first-team start for French champion Paris Saint-Germain over the weekend. Tim Weah is 18 years old, while Pulisic and McKennie are both 19 years old. In a statement, the USA's interim coach Dave Sirachin said, and I quote, "The theme is to offer opportunity to this younger generation of talented players who have potential down the road with the program. Christian Pulisic, Weston McKennie, and Tim Weah will have to wait and see if they're the future for U.S. men's soccer." I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In African athletics, Ayana Tesedat of Ethiopia and Georgina Rono of Kenya set course records Sunday when they won the men's and women's titles at the Riga Marathon in Latvia. Sedat broke away from the Kenyan Silas Tu over the final 2 kilometers and clocked a winning time of 2 hours and 11 minutes. The Kenyan, too, crossed the finish line 13 seconds later. And Georgina Rona won the women's race in Riga with a time of 2 hours, 28 minutes, and 22 seconds. In addition to the course record times, organizers in Latvia say a record 37,645 runners from 78 countries participated in the 2018 Riga Marathon. Elsewhere in African athletics, Kenya's Emily Tui and Ethiopia's Shuru Bulo set meet records Sunday in women's races at the IAAF World Challenge meeting in Osaka, Japan. Tui won the 800 meters in 2 minutes and 22 one-hundredths of a second, and Bulo won the 3,000 meters in 8 minutes and 47.24 seconds. Also at the Osaka meet, Botswana's Isaac Makwala won the men's 200 meters race in 19.96 seconds. Makwala won 2 gold medals at last month's Commonwealth Games in Brisbane, Australia, in the 400 meters and the 4x400 meters team relay events. And one more result, Morocco's Mustafa Smaili won the men's 800 meters race in Osaka in 1 minute, 46.18 seconds. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Ethiopian running great Haile Gebrselassie has helped inaugurate the World Health Organization's Walk the Talk Health for All Challenge in Geneva, Switzerland. The event was held to promote health and, in particular, physical activity as part of a healthy, sustainable future. It was also organized as part of the WHO's 70th anniversary. Participants in Geneva were able to take part in walks or runs of 3, 5, and 8 kilometers. Haile addressed the crowd before one of the runs, saying, and I quote, "Years ago, our life was a kind of exercise, but now that's all changed. That's why exercise must be a part of our daily lifestyle. Otherwise, according to Haile, we're going to lose everything. Technology has given us many things, but it's also taken our natural lives. We will lose that too," says Haile Gebrselassie, "if we're not healthy." 45-year-old Haile Gebrselassie is regarded as one of the greatest distance runners in history. Haile won 2 Olympic gold medals at 10,000 meters and set numerous world records during his career. Haile is currently president of the Ethiopian Athletics Federation. And as his appearance in Geneva makes clear, Haile continues to promote an active lifestyle for all. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In National Basketball Association playoff action Sunday night, the defending champion Golden State Warriors walloped the visiting Houston Rockets by 41 points and now lead the Western Conference Finals 2-1. Associated Press reporter Ryan Leong tells us more from Oakland, California.
Stephen Curry scored 18 of his 35 points in the third quarter as the Warriors blasted the Rockets 126-85.
I have plenty of opportunities, just couldn't knock it down. Third quarter, it opened up. So, you know, I've been doing it for a while and won't let, you know, 2 tough games shooting keep me, you know, frustrated, and just keep shooting and let it kind of take care of itself.
Kevin Durant added 25 points, and Draymond Green with 10 points and 17 rebounds.
It's important going into game 4 that we approach with that same mentality. It's not the mentality that we're up 2-1. You know, we got to go on, you know, almost feeling like we're down 2-1. You know, we're able to get one in Houston. So now, you know, the way to protect that is come out game four, guns blazing.
The Rockets trail for most of the game. Down by 13 points in the third quarter, the Warriors built that lead up to 25 and eventually by 41 points. James Harden led Houston with 20 points. Chris Paul and Clint Capella each added 13. The Rockets committed 20 turnovers, resulting in 28 points by the Warriors. Ryan Leong, Oakland.
Thanks, Ryan. Game four in the Warriors-Rockets series is Tuesday night in Oakland, California. Meanwhile, the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals resume later Monday night in Cleveland, Ohio. That's where LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers will host the Boston Celtics in Game 4 of their best-of-seven series. The Celtics lead 2-1. The Cavs are coming off a big 116-86 win in Game 3, so we'll have to wait and see if they can even things up later Monday night. Turning to men's tennis, well, on Monday, the Association of Tennis Professionals released its latest men's rankings. Back on top, the Spanish star Rafael Nadal. He's once again overtaken Roger Federer of Switzerland for the world number one ranking. Rafa made the best of a rain delay Sunday, a 45-minute rain delay, to come from behind in the deciding set and beat defending champion Alexander Zverev 6-1, 1-6, and 6-3 in the Italian Open final. The win gave Nadal his 56th title on clay. Count them, 56 tournament titles on clay, and 8 of those clay court titles have come in Rome. And the 31-year-old Nadal back on top in the men's tennis rankings. He's quoted as saying after his big win, "It's been an amazing week. So important for me after last week in Madrid." He lost ahead of the final in Madrid, but he's back on top of the world's number one rankings. And speaking of Rafa Nadal, a couple of other Spanish athletic champions are making headlines. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Fernando Torres and Andres Iniesta. That's right, Fernando Torres and Andres Iniesta. The Spanish Football League, La Liga, ended its season on Sunday, and the two Spanish soccer idols bid farewell to their respective clubs. Fernando Torres ended his storybook career with boyhood club Atletico Madrid by scoring 2 goals in the team's 2-2 draw against Eibar. And then just a few hours later, Andres Iniesta capped 16 successful seasons with Barcelona in the team's 1-0 win over Real Sociedad. Now, some of our VOA listeners might remember me reporting last week about Andres Iniesta lifting the Nelson Mandela Centenary Cup in Johannesburg. That's where Barcelona beat Mamelodi Sundowns 3-1 to lift the Nelson Mandela Centenary Cup. Iniesta grabbed that trophy, put it high above his head, and the old Sonny man thought to himself, "I was at that stadium in 2010 when Andres Iniesta lifted the World Cup trophy for Spain after scoring an extra time goal and leading Spain to a 1-0 victory over the Netherlands. Andres Iniesta!" And that wraps up the May 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. Love that sedate music. Love that easy listening music. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The U.S. mission to Nigeria will send 60 young Nigerians to participate in the 2018 Mandela Washington Fellowship, or MFW, program for 6 weeks from June 20th to August 2nd. The Mandela Washington Fellowship is the flagship program of the Young African Leaders Initiative, known as YALI. It is composed of academic coursework, leadership training, and networking. A total of 5 out of the 60 fellows will remain in the United States for an additional 6 weeks to participate in a professional development experience at select U.S. companies and organizations. Through the Mandela Washington Fellowship, 27 U.S. universities will host 700 young leaders from sub-Saharan Africa for academic and leadership institutes focused on public management, business and entrepreneurship, and civic leadership. Nigeria's fellows represent the largest cohort from any one country. As part of the orientation, the U.S. Embassy invited 3 leading Nigerian professionals to participate in a mentoring workshop. Afolabi Imukedi, Senior Special Advisor to the Vice President on Job Creation, Sarah Maka Ubabi, One Campaign Country Director, and Lawrence Afere, 2014 MWF alumnus and founder of Springboard Farms. All 3 of them shared unique perspectives on leadership and opportunity. In his remarks, the U.S. Embassy Counselor for Public Affairs, Aruna Amirthanayagam, explained that more than 11,000 Nigerians applied to participate in the 2018 Mandela Washington Fellowship Program. After the review by our partner NGO, after reading by members of the Mission Nigeria community, after an interview in either Abuja, Lagos, Ibadan, Akuri, Enugu, Port Harcourt, and Calabar, a total of 60 young Nigerians were selected, he said. Mr. Amirthanayagam explained that Nigeria has the largest single cohort from any country in Africa, and this is in recognition of the fact that the U.S.-Nigerian relationship is one of the most important, not only in Africa, but in the world. Speaking at the reception by the U.S. Embassy in their honor, Chargé d'Affaires David Young urged the fellows to be generous with the unique opportunity they had been given. The United States is making an investment in you through academic coursework, leadership training, and networking. You will return to Nigeria later this summer with increased capital. Share that wealth with others.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Africa presents a message in the public interest from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control.
It's difficult to recognize Ebola because the signs, sudden fever, diarrhea, vomiting, are shared by other diseases. It's quite difficult for anyone, except a healthcare worker, to say definitively, yes, it is Ebola, or no, it is not Ebola. So if you have sudden fever, diarrhea, or vomiting, and you have been in direct contact with someone who is sick, you should go to the health center, because no matter the cause, you can receive help there. And remember, with the right information and together with our healthcare workers, we can protect ourselves from Ebola.
That was a message in the public interest from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, brought to you by VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, warring factions in South Sudan's civil war are scheduled to begin meeting in Ethiopia on Thursday, May 17th, in an effort to end the brutal conflict. Despite several agreements and ceasefires, the fighting continues. South Sudan in crisis, on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOAAfrica.com.
On VOAAfrica.com, the news updates never stop. Our primary goal is to keep you informed.
VOAAfrica.com, your trusted source for news and information.